KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Susan Kennedy, in for Scott Schaefer. U.S. environmental officials have reached an agreement with Mexico to improve air quality along the border. Both countries say they will institute new low-sulfur fuel standards next year to help reduce sulfur emissions. Those emissions produce particulate matter, which contribute to asthma and other respiratory problems. At a press conference Wednesday, Wayne Nastry with the Environmental Protection Agency said the cooperation between the two countries is a major step.
From our perspective, the acute health impacts of particulate matter really screams to doing everything that we can to reduce that, and it enables the use of technology, which can even lead to further reductions.
Nastry says trucks using low-sulfur diesel will be fitted with filters to further cut down on harmful emissions, and Mexico will import low-sulfur diesel from the United States. It's going to be costly to save the endangered Delta smelt. The tiny fish is a key indicator of the health of the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, and the population is at its lowest level in 46 years. According to a report being released today by the state, saving the Delta smelt could cost hundreds of millions of dollars. The beaches of Sonoma County are closed today after a shark attack on a surfer near Bodega Bay. The 20-year-old woman was grabbed from behind by what is believed to be a great white shark. She suffered a bite from her thigh to her calf. Doctors say she's in good condition. President Bush is in Southern California today for a dedication ceremony and a million-dollar fundraiser. The governor won't be at either event. Governor Schwarzenegger says he's not happy that the president is collecting money that he needs during these weeks before the November special election. Voter turnout at the polls is expected to be low during that special election, but county registrars around the state say they're getting more requests than usual for absentee ballots. This won't come as a surprise to the campaigns for and against the governor's initiatives. Both sides are heavily targeting those potential absentee voters. Tamara Keith of KPCC has more.
It used to be that the only people who voted absentee were folks on vacation and those with permanent disabilities. But the state has loosened the rules on who can vote absentee, and now anyone can do it. Last year, a full third of votes cast came from absentees. This year, they could have more influence than ever, given that voter turnout for November's election is expected to be low. Dan Schnur is a Republican political consultant and professor at UC Berkeley.
In a low turnout election, it's the walk-up vote that's generally much lower. Absentee voters tend to be more dedicated, more reliable voters, so proportionally, that vote's going to have a much greater impact in a campaign like this one.
And that explains why the campaigns have already been staking out their territory among these coveted stay-at-home voters. Todd Harris is an advisor for the governor's California Recovery Team, which is campaigning for Schwarzenegger's four initiatives.
We place huge emphasis on absentee ballot voting. Huge. It is a critical part of our campaign plan, and it's a critical component in terms of our recipe to win.
He says absentee voters lean conservative and tend to support the governor. The state GOP has already sent mailers to their members that include forms to request an absentee ballot. The Schwarzenegger campaign sent 10 million pieces of mail this week, encouraging people to vote by mail. Harris says absentees are votes in the bank headed into Election Day.
We chase that ballot all through the entire process. So from the minute someone gets their request for an absentee ballot, they fill it out. We know when it gets sent to their local registrar of voters. We know when that absentee ballot is mailed to the person, and we know whether they've submitted it back. And that allows us to bank these votes.
But the governor's people aren't the only ones banking on those votes. Gail Kaufman is consultant to the Alliance for a Better California, the union-backed group opposing the governor's initiatives.
The old adage that Democrats don't do well with absentee ballots is no longer the case. It's always been assumed that that absentee voters were older and Republican, quite frankly, and the complexion of absentee voters has changed over the years.
Kaufman is cagey about her campaign's ground efforts, but she says the Alliance is communicating with absentee voters. She says the millions spent on early television ads were in part aimed at absentees who are already voting.
Clearly, we went out very early in our campaign, and, you know, part of our eye was to the fact that people can, in fact, start voting right about now.
A strategist with the California Democratic Party, Bob Mulholland, says unions have sent absentee applications directly to their members and will follow up with phone calls and even face-to-face contact. To target the general public, Mulholland says all campaigns now use sophisticated voter tracking so they don't waste any time appealing to people who may vote against them.
Not only do you have party, Democrat versus Republican versus Independent, you have age. You know whether they vote all the time, whether they vote by absentee, whether they're permanent. So you have well over 100 pieces of information, whether they're Italian-American, whether they're gay, whether they're divorced, whether they're a single woman who have two kids under the age of 18. You have all that stuff.
The political history books are filled with stories about candidates and initiatives winning on election night, only to come up losers the next day after all the absentee ballots are counted. This year, all sides are hoping that their absentee voters will make the difference. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith.
In Kings Canyon National Park, rangers and military archaeologists are working to recover what they believe is the body of a World War II airman frozen in a glacier for more than 60 years. From our Central Valley Bureau, Sasha Coca reports.
Two ice climbers found the body protruding from the bottom of a remote 13,000-foot-high glacier. Park ranger Alex Pickovit says the frozen body is well-preserved. The airman had sandy blonde hair and was wearing a green sweater.
There's a parachute on the back of the person that says U.S. Army, a silk parachute. All of this is tending to date this person to the 1940s.
Rangers say the body may be connected to a 1942 plane crash. Parts of a downed military training plane and four bodies were found at the same site in 1947. Military forensic experts will try to determine if this serviceman died in the same accident. Dr. Bob Mann is deputy scientific director with the military unit in charge of recovering the remains of lost soldiers.
We can put together a lot of information just based on an examination of the skeleton. What becomes more difficult is trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, trying to locate dental records, trying to locate maternal relatives for the DNA comparison.
If the body is successfully identified, it will be flown to the family for burial with military honors. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Thursday, October 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Susan Kennedy. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by TIAA CREF. Serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. The Stewart Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education. And the California Farm Water Coalition. Family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family. Online at farmwater.org.